Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I got a message here from Right On John. He says he is sending us a message from Los Angeles. He says this, bye-bye, Stephen Colbert, you woke piece of... Woke companies are getting the pictures that if you're painfully woke like that show, you go broke or you lose government money. Their house of cards are falling. Yeah, Stephen Colbert, the host of The Late Show. That was that David Letterman's show? Was it David Letterman? Did he have that one before whoever had it, before whoever had it, before whoever had it? Yeah, that's right. Here we go. The cancellation marks the end. This is from the Daily Caller. The cancellation marks the end of a long tradition of original late-night programming on CBS, a legacy that began in 1993 when the network lured David Letterman away from NBC, according to Variety. But yes, yeah, CBS announced Thursday that it will end Stephen Colbert's The Late Show after the upcoming TV season, citing a financial decision. We consider Stephen Colbert irreplaceable and will retire the Late Show franchise in May of 2026, CBS executives said in a statement reported by Variety. Anyway, so yeah, man, here's what's really happening, though, is that Greg Gutfeld on weeknights is the real late night comedy show now. He's crushing everybody in ratings. And he's, of course, on Fox News. And then you got Jimmy Fallon on Saturday, Mr. Saturday Night. Jimmy Fallon is crushing Saturday nights, the stand-up comedian and former New York City cab driver there. And, yeah, these other organizations, go woke, as, you know, Right On John pointed out, go woke, go broke. That's what's happening there. Greg Gutfeld, let me see, how long is this audio clip here? Let's see if we can get to most of it here. Let's do a morning mashup of news with Greg Gutfeld, the new king of late night.
The New York Times editorial claims defunding NPR and PBS is like defunding the police. It's true. Think of all the times you've been violently assaulted and thought, man, if only the cast of Downton Abbey were here. Trump's tariffs brought in $64 billion in the second quarter. Even Biden officials were impressed, saying, think of how many drag shows in Africa that could pay for. A New York man who filmed up to 13,000 people in a hospital bathroom won't get jail time. But thanks to all that experience filming hours of crap, he's been named head of programming at CNN.
Oh, man. All right. Let's pause it right there. I got at least another minute to go of the Greg Gutfeld morning news mashup from the king of late night, of course, Greg Gutfeld. I'll get to that here right after the break. Okay, yep, yeah, that's what I thought. Thanks, Caden, for checking in. So, all right. So I thought Becky was going to be with us to look at the bright side here in this 7 o'clock hour for Freedom Friday. But we got a frago because she's going to join us actually later on in the 9 o'clock hour around 9:40, along with a very special guest. J.R. Vizane is going to join us as well. So we're going to look at the bright side with a great guest and more in the 9 o'clock hour.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings into the upper 80s. Then clear skies continue into tonight. Lows in the mid-50s in Bozeman, around 60 in Billings. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine, with high temperatures from 90 in Bozeman to the mid-90s in the Billings area. Staying clear and quiet Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. It's no surprise what you eat can affect how you feel, but research suggests poor eating habits may increase the risk of depression in certain individuals. According to the latest figures from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about 16% of women in the U.S. have suffered from depression. Previous studies suggest the risk only goes up for women in a certain age group, for instance, midlife. Dr. Holly Jones, an associate professor at the Ohio State University College of Nursing, says premenopausal women ages 40 to 50 who consume ultra-processed foods could be more vulnerable to developing the disorder. Jen says other factors that may play a role include not getting the recommended 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night and lack of exercise. To help ward off depression later in life, Jones recommends thinking more about a plant-based diet and avoiding ultra-processed foods. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Summer.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
So I've got a great look at the bright side story that I was going to share with Becky. And, of course, you know, she's listening right now, so we'll share it with her and we'll share it with you. And then Becky is actually going to be with us later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Yeah, you know, every Friday now on Freedom Friday, Becky Hilliard joins us. Typically here in the 7 o'clock hour, and she always, you know, we talk about a whole bunch of stuff, but she always shares a great story looking at the bright side, right? And so one week, her bright side story was about J.R. Vazane, who's just got an incredible story. Anyway, he's so, of course, what was he, a six-time national finals rodeo, NFR qualifier, high school rodeo champion, college rodeo champion. I saw there was a story from the Tri-State Livestock News back in October of 2018, a miracle in the works, J.R. Vazane on the road to recovery after severe back injury. And then Scott Breen, the great sports reporter, great sports anchor, Scott Breen from KTVQ, did a story a couple years ago kind of about his road to recovery step by step. And then Becky, one week when she joined us on the show, she was talking about how J.R. Vazane now has some new legs and how he's and the incredible story about the new legs that he's using to be able to get out moving on the ranch. And so anyway, he's going to call in from the ranch. Becky will be with us in studio. That'll be later on around 9:40. Looking forward to that conversation. I saw that J.R. Vazane also did a podcast interview for the Team Never Quit podcast with Marcus and Morgan Luttrell, a couple of well-known Navy SEALs. They talked about his Never Quit story and his harrowing, life-altering bareback bronc rodeo disaster. And the miracle in the works that he is undergoing right now. So we're looking forward to hearing about that later on. This was the bright side story that I was going to share with Becky, though. I saw this one just a few days ago, just earlier this week, following the Calgary Stampede. You guys know who Haven Medjid is, right? So Haven Medjid is just a world champion. He was the 2019 world champion tie-down roper. He's from Miles City, and in fact, it was really funny because right after he became the world champ, the following Monday, he was back at work at Miles City Livestock, probably shoveling a whole bunch of Adam Schiff, right? And so, world champ, he wins at the NFR, and then he's right back to work. Here you go. Here's the shovel. Kendra Santos shared this on Facebook. She says, "I've been needing some bright side news." Her actual words. "I've been needing some bright side news in the midst of the tough stuff I've been telling you all about lately, including 2019 world champion tie-down roper Haven Medjid sitting out the heat of summer rodeo battle with back troubles right now. His 2023 world champion breakaway roper wife, Shelby Medjid, just delivered pure joy to their household by winning both the NFR Open in Colorado Springs on Saturday night and the first ever equal money breakaway roping at the Calgary Stampede Sunday afternoon. while her husband, who won Calgary last year but was not cleared to defend his title, has been spending his time on the injured reserve list helping her. His handy wife just made a hefty $81,625 deposit into their bank account from those two rodeos alone after what she described as roping myself out of a slump. To add to her perfect timing, while they're a single-income family, is the fact that Shelby grew up just outside of Calgary. So the stands at the greatest outdoor show on earth were full of family, friends, and fans cheering for a hometown hero. Their local girl not only made good, but made history. Shelby beamed from center stage at Calgary on Sunday, saying, quote, "This is the biggest week I've ever had in my life." Kendra Santos then wrapped up her post saying, "Congratulations, Shelby. And as you always, stand by your man. It's so cool to see him doing the same for you. Happy for you both and looking forward to Haven's comeback later this month. Safe travels and good luck as you're on to the next one at Cheyenne." What a great post. I thought that was a great story, and I just love the fact that it not only is it a bright side story, but Kendra Santos actually used that term, bright side news, in her post. Speaking of Becky and the great bright side stories that she's shared with us every week now, I mentioned Saturday morning, I had the honor of attending, like so many of you, the memorial service for Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin. And the floor was packed, and there were people sitting in the arena stands as well at the Metro Park for John Oslin's funeral. And it was an incredible service, incredible speakers. His daughters spoke. Just incredible speakers all around. Gary Blaine did an incredible job speaking. And then Captain Kent O'Donnell with the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office, he did an incredible job speaking as well. But it was crazy because here I am attending this memorial service, and all of a sudden I hear my name. And I'm like, well, why did I just hear my name? Well, Captain Kent O'Donnell had been listening to our conversation with Becky Hillier. And a few weeks ago, maybe we were talking about John Oslin, I can't remember, but she shared a quote. She said, "Instead of leaving a scar, leave your mark." And Captain O'Donnell had referenced that and talked about that's exactly who Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin was. He left a mark on this community, and in a positive, in so many positive ways. So anyway, those bright side stories definitely have an impact. So we always appreciate Becky sharing those with us.
Minutes with Howard Kurtz.
Elon Musk is back in President Trump's face, that is. You may recall that it was Musk who first raised the question about whether or not President Trump had something to hide when it came to Jeffrey Epstein. But he later said he went too far and he apologized. But now he says it's a cover-up, obviously. He also said, wow, amazing that Epstein, air quotes, killed himself, and Ghislaine Maxwell, is in federal prison for a hoax. He even questioned the FBI's handling of it. What happened to all the evidence against Epstein? This is not helping the president, who doesn't want to talk about this at all, although he's now calling for an FBI probe, to put this behind him. The media can't get enough of this story, but of course, it is Trump's own supporters who are keeping it alive. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Boy, that really got people fired up. Some guy from Northwest Montana called into Montana Talks about halfway through Thursday's show, and he said, why does the flag even matter that much? And that's when patriots from all across the great state of Montana started calling into Montana Talks. Hey, that's why we keep the phone lines open for you, so you can be heard, so you can stand up for that flag and what matters to you, what matters to Montana. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, Recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, Ledger Montana farmer John Wicks joined bankers and ag lenders in testifying to a House Agriculture subcommittee calling for higher loan limits, more flexibility, and faster approvals in USDA's Farm Service Agency loan programs.
My first experience with FSA loan programs was when I was 14 years old. I received a $5,000 youth loan to purchase cattle, and I ran those cattle alongside my dad's herd for 4 years. The proceeds helped fund my college education.
Wicks said an FSA loan helped him take over the family farm, but the months-long process wouldn't work in competitive land sales. He urged Congress to raise loan limits, speed up approvals, and offer pre-approval.
I think it's really important to, increase those loan limits a little bit to help, you know, with the rising costs of everything, and to maybe expedite the process of the paperwork to kind of get people the financing quicker. But the tools are really amazing and really helpful for somebody that, you know, our farm, we were struggling with, we were reaching the end of our equity and needing a new operator to come in, and that was me. Having that access to maybe more funding and, you know, for the farm ownership loan, that was quite a process to start. And, you know, it took months. And in another case, you might have somebody else outbid you while you're going through all the loan approvals.
Wicks testified on behalf of the National Farmers Union. I'm Wayne Northland.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Lots to talk about this morning here on the show. But, of course, we always want to know what you want to talk about. Or if we're talking about something, we'd love to get your take. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in right now. We've got phone lines open all the way until the 9 o'clock hour. We've got some great guests that are going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. But other than that, we've got the phone lines open starting right now. Normally our friend George Blackard will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. He's out traveling today, so phone lines are open. Let's see. Michael in Bozeman messaged us on the Montana Talks app. Let's see if these late night low IQ show hosts keep losing their jobs. Greg Gutfeld will have to find other sources for comedy material because Greg Gutfeld, it's almost too easy, right? He can just go watch how bad these other so-called late night comedy shows are, and he can just use that as good material. Yeah, good point there. Great message from Michael and Bozeman. Thanks for that message. Let's see. Speaking of Greg Gutfeld, I told you I was going to get back to it here. I recorded a little bit of his program last night and turned it into a morning mashup of news with Gutfeld here this morning. I played just about a minute or so at the top of the hour. Here's one, maybe two, couple more jokes for you this morning.
Oh, it gets worse. It gets worse. The Steve Miller Band has canceled all of its tour dates because of global warming.
Oh, God.
Yeah, organizers admit it's a waste of fuel to go from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Tacoma, Philadelphia, Atlanta, L.A. Nice. And finally, according to a new study, magic mushrooms can extend the lifespan of rodents. Yeah. Well, I guess Richard Gere's gerbil gets to go on two trips.
Okay, I thought I stopped the recording at that point. Man, you'd think John Jackson was behind the microphone now or something. By the way, John will be behind the microphone on Tuesday. He's going to be filling in for the whole 4 hours of this show on Tuesday, so get that one on your calendar for sure. All right, let's see. Where do we go next here? Man, we got a lot to talk about here. This whole... earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, I talked about the $9 billion rescissions package, pulling back $9 billion in federal funds that were already allocated. That's great news. So the Senate, you know, earlier this week, they worked late into the night to pass, barely pass that rescissions package. Two Republicans bailed, but they still got the job done with the rest of the Republican caucus. Then the House got it done once and for all last night, so it now heads to President Trump. But the other thing that got across the finish line was some legislation regarding cryptocurrency. One of these days, we'll have to get Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern Congressional District on the show with us because, he's really smart when it comes to this cryptocurrency stuff, you know, given his business background. And, he was early on in Yahoo. And so he's really smart with this cryptocurrency stuff. So, it's kind of one of those random topics that a lot of people don't know too much about. It's, the whole cryptocurrency thing just seems crazy to a lot of us, right? But Troy Downing knows a thing or two about it. So they also passed some big legislation when it comes to cryptocurrency. Let's see if White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt can give us a good overview of what this crypto legislation does.
Well, the president did signal his support for a de minimis exemption for crypto, and the administration continues to be in support of that. We are definitely receptive to it to make crypto payments easier and more efficient for those who seek to use crypto as simple as buying a cup of coffee. Of course, right now that cannot happen, but with the de minimis exemption, perhaps it could in the future, and we will continue to explore legislative solutions to accomplish that. As for the central bank digital currency and the Genius Act, which you noted has passed through Congress and will be sent to the president's desk, I believe the House is voting on it. If they haven't, they should be passing it. We know we have the votes, and we expect it to get to the president's desk, and we are planning a signing ceremony tomorrow afternoon. All of you will get more details on that. This piece of legislation is going to make America the crypto capital of the world, and that's what the president promised. As for a central bank digital currency, the president opposes that. He made that promise to the American people on the campaign, and while it's not in this specific piece of legislation, he did sign a January executive order banning a central bank digital currency. The administration supports Congress's efforts to codify that executive order into law, and I believe there will be future pieces of legislation in regards to crypto that will be moving through Capitol Hill. The president looks forward to signing them, and he looks forward to the signing ceremony this afternoon. So thank you for being with us today.
All right. So that obviously was from yesterday morning because the information was slightly dated there. But you get the gist of what the president supports and what he opposes, too, including the CBDC. You guys remember when the central bank digital currency topic came up a couple of legislative sessions ago? So we've got some updates, including the CBDC. Got three updates on the digital asset legislation, as it's being referred to here. So we'll get to that here in 60 seconds. And then I want to talk about the Stillwater mine and Russian palladium. Well, yeah, that is a live Fox News update there. So luckily, she just gave us an update on some of the very cryptocurrency legislation that we were planning on talking about. Here we go. Congressman Troy Downing's office sent out an update just before 5 p.m. Thursday. Congressman Troy Downing applauding the passage of three historic pieces of digital asset legislation. Downing is a member of the House Financial Services Committee's Digital Asset, Financial Technology, and Artificial Intelligence Subcommittee. Man, we got to get his take on AI, too, one of these days. Here's basically three different posts on X that he shared that I think give us a rundown here. First, he calls it a big win for the U.S. digital asset ecosystem today with House passage of the Clarity Act. Proud to support legislation that provides clear rules of the road for crypto and keeps innovation in American markets. And I think what he's getting at here is that look, if America doesn't lead and if American businesses don't have the opportunity to lead with crypto, et cetera, man, the rest of the world is on the march. And if they become the leaders in this type of currency, you guys understand the importance for why it's good to have American currency dominate on the world stage. All right, So that's what he's getting at there. Here we go. This was the second post. Congress is finally capitalizing on years of bipartisan bicameral efforts to bring regulatory clarity for payment stable coins with today's passage of the Genius Act. He calls it a major step toward ensuring the U.S. dollar remains the foundation of the global financial system. And then there was this one, because I think I saw Chris and Billings sent out a post on X a couple of days ago, and he was saying, hey, guys, I get it. You're pushing, you know, cryptocurrency legislation, but you have got to ban this concept of a central bank digital currency. You have got to block a CBDC. Well, looks like that block on a CBDC was included in the House legislation yesterday. Congressman Downing also added this: I don't trust the federal government with my personal data, so why should we trust unelected bureaucrats with Americans' financial information? Proud to see H.R. 1919, the Anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act, pass the House. So he talked about it being a critical step towards protecting Americans' financial information. Tom Emmer said a central bank digital currency would give bureaucrats at the Federal Reserve the ability to monitor and restrict Americans' individual purchases. I mean, could you imagine if the Federal Reserve had the ability to restrict your individual purchases? Nah, we're not going to let you buy that gun. Nope, we don't like guns. We're not going to let you buy that gun. Oh, Bussy would love it.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, our producer Caden asked a good question here. We were talking about how Troy Downing is on the blah, 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 whatever, artificial intelligence subcommittee, right? So you always hear all these things. It's the Congress. We've got the subcommittee for the subcommittee for the committee for the, you know, anyway, it's kind of like, you know, when Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. Now, that guy was funny. Stephen Colbert, not so much. But anyway, it was like when Stephen Colbert would you know, make fun of these news organizations. We turn now to Chief Deputy Bureau Chief Under Correspondent, blah, blah, blah. That's why we always have fun by joking around that Tim and Savage is our Mondakistan Bureau Chief. But Caden asked a good question. What makes a representative eligible for a committee? So let me see. I figured I'd throw that at Grok, Elon Musk's AI platform here. Grok says committee assignments in Congress are determined through a process driven by party leadership with some differences between the House and the Senate. And so it goes through a big background. And then, you know, kind of the conclusion is this: the assignments typically occur at the start of a new Congress, every 2 years, the start of a new session, or when vacancies arise. Members submit preference forms and leadership finalizes assignments before the session begins. So, but the real deal, if you really want to break it down, they're looking at a whole bunch of factors. Like, okay, say you got somebody newly elected from Montana, man, you're going to want to be on the Energy Committee, or you're going to want to be on, you know, the Veterans Affairs Committee, like Tim Sheehy's on Veterans Affairs in the Senate. Energy, natural resources, those types of issues. Agriculture, the Ag Committee is always a great one to be on as well. I mean, really, every committee has its impacts. But so oftentimes there's a lot of political considerations are made. Look, if leadership, frankly, doesn't like some guy may not get the nicer committee assignments, right? If there's a very competitive race and the Republicans want to win it, well, the Republicans are going to say, hey, let's put that gal or let's put that guy on these key committees so it puts them in a better position to deliver for their constituents back home. So in these, you know, crucial tight swing elections heading into the midterms next year, Republicans get the bench. So there's all sorts of different factors and considerations like that are made. Speaking of committees, though, a little inside baseball, but that ties in. with the next topic that I thought we could get to here this morning. This was earlier in the week, but this is very important nonetheless. You know, if we were to rewind the tape and go back to Monday morning's show, I was talking about Russia and Ukraine and how Donald Trump is losing patience with Vladimir Putin because Trump wants to bring this war to an end. And, you know, basically they were getting close to putting more sanctions in place against Russia, but Trump is going to give Putin 50 more days. And so I talked that, hey, if they're going to put new sanctions in place in Russia, let's ban Russian palladium imports. You guys remember, we had hundreds of miners at the Stillwater mine here in Montana that were laid off as a result of the Biden tester, you know, electric vehicle mandates that undermined those markets. And then, of course, you know, Biden tester continued to allow the dumping of Russian palladium into the American markets, even as Joe Biden pretended to be all tough against Russia over Ukraine. And yet Joe Biden continued to fund Russian oil. Joe Biden continued to fund Russian palladium. And we lost hundreds of mining jobs here in Montana. Well, Senator Steve Daines chaired a Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing earlier this week where he spoke with Michael Regas, the nominee to be Deputy Secretary of State for Management and Resources. And Senator Daines brought up that very topic of palladium.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Regas, as you know, palladium is an incredibly important metal used across the U.S. manufacturing industry, but it is of particular importance to the production of munitions, advanced electronics, and the automobile industry. In fact, the only primary producer of palladium and platinum in the United States is in my home state of Montana. There's three places that mine it: Russia, South Africa, and Montana. In order to drive that mine out of business and increase the American supply chain vulnerability, the Russians have flooded the market with palladium, driving down prices and forcing Montana's Stillwater mine, which is located south of Big Timber in Columbus, Montana, a beautiful part of our state, to lay off around 700 hardworking employees. If we don't take action to curb Russian dumping and price manipulation, the mine and the important jobs it supplies will be permanently lost, and American supply chains will be all that much more vulnerable. Russian palladium is not only costing us American jobs, the irony here, it's helping fund the Russians' war against Ukraine. Mr. Regas, how can the State Department work with Congress and across the administration to decrease American independence, or I should say dependence, on Russian minerals like palladium, while at the same time protecting American workers from Russian market manipulation?
Thank you for the question, Senator. I think the President's talked about not necessarily this exact issue, but basically this issue generally, with how we need to onshore critical supply chains for national security purposes, how he wants to streamline the permitting process so that things that, you know, used to take years, we could allow permitting for them in weeks or months, and his use of tariffs, certainly for national security purposes. And this sounds like it might be a national security issue calling for tariffs on a critical mineral that's adversely affecting our ability to source national security related minerals. So I could see a multifaceted approach where tariffs are involved to on Russian palladium, but I don't want to get out over my skis on, you know, there's a number of other people talking about tariffs. I'll let them address
thank you for that thoughtful answer. And we just want to flag it. I know we're in discussions with the White House now. The Defense Production Act might be another avenue here.
Yes.
Because they're dumping this palladium plant in the United States market, forcing the price down. That funds the Russian efforts in Ukraine, and we're seeing Montana miners losing their jobs. We've got to act, but I want to raise the issue there to put on your radar. Second question, Mr. Regas, regarding Central Asia. It's vitally important. It's a region that's in a tough neighborhood.
It's rich in natural resources. They're surrounded by Russia, China, Iran, Afghanistan, and they're working very hard to modernize their economies and improve relationships with the United States. I visited all five of the presidents of those respective five Central Asian countries in the last 14 months, and they want to work with the United States. Unfortunately, Central Asia is still subject to very irrelevant Cold War-era trade restrictions and can only trade with the United States on a waiver basis. This is the Jackson-Vanik trade restrictions. They prevent any permanent investment and have become a major hindrance to getting things done in Central Asia and to increase American prosperity and security. In order to take advantage of the possibilities for stronger partnerships between the United States and Central Asia, we must address this trade issue and, frankly, bring this relationship into the 21st century.
All right, there you go. So that was Senator Steve Daines chairing that Senate Foreign Relations Committee there. But really a great back and forth there with the nominee to be the Deputy Secretary of State. And especially as President Trump is giving Russia 50 days, this gets the wheel spinning for, all right, less than 50 days now. And frankly, I wish they would actually even do it even before the 50 days and get this good news out there for our Stillwater miners. Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, you talk about mining, you talk about oil, gas, coal. It's all part of our great Montana economy. And then, of course, there's agriculture as well. Let me tell you about Reminis Angus Ranch. Boy, they've got some great products. You guys have heard Brian Massard from Reminis Angus Ranch join us on the show here out of Dillon. Always fun to catch up with him. You know, he's been a big part of this Make America Healthy Again agenda. In fact, he just sent me a video the other day. A top official with the U.S. DPHHS is now talking about ending this discrimination against saturated fat. And that's, of course, something that Brian Massard has been hammering in because, you know, beef, and Montana beef especially, is the original superfood. It's got all those nutrients packed in there. Well, I'll tell you what, Reminis Angus Ranch, they've got premium steaks. You can get their ground beef or their jerky. They've even got beef bacon. So check out remangus.com. Check out Reminis Angus Ranch. And then also you can find out more about how they're partnering with N-Soil Algae to get healthier soils for better beef as well.
Got some good news for your ears. More of that good stuff is coming up. And even better news for your hair. The best hair care is at Sephora. They've got all kinds of products for every kind of hair. From brands like Amika, Kerastase, Day, and K18. You know where to get great audio. Now, you know where to get great hair care, too. Sephora. Good news for great hair. Shop hair care now at Sephora.com.
Fox News Commentary.
A new study shows women have better hearing than men. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Emily Campagno. This week on the Fox True Crime Podcast, I speak with retired FBI Special Agent Peter Lapp as he discusses his work investigating and arresting one of the most damaging spies, Ana Montez.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com.
Following Fox's initial donation to the Kerr County Flood Relief Fund, our generous viewers have answered the call to action across all Fox platforms and have helped raise $7 million. Visit go.fox/TX Flood Relief to support relief and rebuilding efforts.
Biological men may be dominating in women's sports, but it's good to know there's at least one area we've got them beat. A new study published in the journal Scientific Reports indicates women have more sensitive hearing than our male counterparts. The study spanned the global community and nearly 500 individuals. Throughout the testing, which examined multiple factors, researchers concluded women showed a higher sensitivity to sound by an average of 2 decibels across all populations sampled. They say this could be due to our exposure to different hormones in the womb or the structural differences in our inner ear shape. And here's the fun part. Researchers also found that women perform better in hearing tests and speech perception, which indicates we might be better at processing information. Better hearing might not always be a blessing, though, especially when our husbands are watching sports and or snoring. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, we're looking at high temperature readings into the upper 80s. Then clear skies continue into tonight, lows in the mid-50s in Bozeman, around 60 in Billings. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for more sunshine, with high temperatures from 90 in Bozeman to the mid-90s in the Billings area. Staying clear and quiet Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Gavin's got a gun. Whole world's come undone. Yeah, you heard me right. Gavin Newsom just got his first gun. You got to see the video of this guy. He's like, what am I holding here? It's like the most awkward guy trying to hold a gun video you've probably seen in a long time. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com, plus a whole bunch of Montana content, including all of the growing conflicts between Montanans and...
Guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at NFamilyFire.org. Brought to you by NFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a couple of great callers on the phone line, so let's jump right into the phone lines. First up, our friend Bob McGuire. Bob, always great to hear from you. What's going on?
You know, the big story today is the crypto money and how that's probably going to be signed by the president. I haven't heard anybody say, can we still use regular cash or do we have to convert to crypto?
Yeah, no, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, no, you still use regular cash. This cryptocurrency, it's more of establishing kind of that international framework and you know, kind of crafting the system that can be used for the people that want to use cryptocurrency. Because, yeah, there's some people that are really all excited about this cryptocurrency thing. It's like a foreign language to me, though.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, as far as I know, no, you'll still be able to use your normal old cash as well. But thedailywire.com has a write-up here about these legislations. And what it says about the Genius Act in particular is basically it provides a system of regulation for digital commodity sales by the SEC and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. So it's basically creating a system to regulate these types of digital commodity sales and really create a framework so that, you know, as more and more companies and countries want to trade vis-a-vis crypto on the international markets, it's kind of like, okay, well, what will be the main, you know, just like right now, the dollar is yeah, you know, so critical. Well, what from a digital standpoint, who's going to be the leader from a digital standpoint when it comes to cryptocurrency? So I think that's what President Trump and congressional Republicans are trying to do here, is to make sure that the U.S. leads when it comes to digital assets.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll have to get Troy Downing on here one of these days because he's all over this this crypto stuff, so he could break it down for us. All right, Bob McGuire, great to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Next up, let's see. We got Kyle in Columbus. Kyle, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. I just wanted to comment on what you're talking about, Sibanye-Stillwater and their palladium thing. Well, I don't disagree with you completely, but I was kind of in that. But what gets forgotten about this thing is Sibanye, a South African company, saw the writing on the wall for about 2 years, ever since Ukraine or Russia invaded Ukraine, and they did nothing to stop it. They just kept trying to spend their way to prosperity, which does not work. And so I think they're a lot to blame as the Russians, the managers themselves. And with that note, I was a little disappointed with Senator Daines back then because they were sanctioning everything from Russia. But palladium and platinum were not on that list. And Tester, of course, wasn't. Thank God he's gone. But it's like now it's kind of like they're trying to catch up when they should have been there 3 years ago when this was happening.
Yeah, although fair point, but then again, who was in charge? Who was in control of the White House and the Senate at the time? You know, Tester was running the show with Senate Democrats, and so the same guy who was responsible for shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, big surprise that he failed to stand up in a big way for the Stillwater mine. I'd have to go back. I know that Senator Steve Daines was calling for a ban on Russian palladium, you know, long before right now. But as far as how early he had called for that, that's a good question there. Because, yeah, I mean, whether they were in charge or not, you know, you got to be getting the word out on that front and then lay that at the feet of the Biden testers when they were in charge.
Yeah, I agree with that. He was my senator no matter what at that time, and I wish I had heard his voice a little more. Excuse me. So that's kind of my point to that. But anyway, thank you.
Hey, now I've heard, Kyle, have you heard, I've heard that some of the miners have been called back for work. I was very pleased to hear that.
Yeah, there's been quite a few that I know. Like I said, I took the layoff voluntarily, so I'm not there. But I am from Columbus originally, and I know a lot of people there. And they're calling guys back. A lot of guys are saying, no, thank you. And they got a better job. They don't want to do it. And I would lay that right on management's feet there. But, you know, that is... There are people get called back for sure.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I need to reach out to the mine folks to say, hey, I've heard this good news. What's behind the good news? So that would be interesting to hear as well. Kyle, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. We got the phone lines open for the entire 8 o'clock hour on this Freedom Friday. If you got something you want to talk about as well. Boy, that really got people fired up. Some guy from Northwest Montana called into Montana Talks about halfway through Thursday's show, and he said, why does the flag even matter that much? And that's when patriots from all across the great state of Montana started calling into Montana Talks. Hey, that's why we keep the phone lines open for you, so you can be heard, so you can stand up for that flag and what matters to you, what matters to Montana. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.